الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to EDARS.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد خاتم النبيين وإمام المرسلين، وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وصحابته أجمعين، وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. وبعد. Respected brothers, sisters, friends, just to follow on what Sheikh Abu Aliya was saying about the world being a place, or the status of the world being similar to the washroom or the toilet, as we would say in England, and something that's only used as a need but not something that's given preference to. I actually just mentioned this last week in a talk in the UK, and I heard it from one of my teachers, and alhamdulillah he mentioned the reference that Sheikh Imam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned this. So this is the nature of the world. It's something that is similar to the washroom or the toilet. It's something that you only go as a need, not something that you enjoy. But today people actually go and enjoy themselves in the toilet as well. They take their magazines and newspapers and spend time, I don't know how long, in the toilets and washrooms. SubhanAllah. My topic is to do with the rights and responsibilities of the husband and wife. And actually this is a very lengthy topic, very important topic, something that requires much time. And in 35 to 40 minutes, it's impossible for me to discuss this topic in detail. And what I want to do, inshallah, is just touch upon one right of each of the spouses. Just one right. There are many rights of the husband and many rights of the wife. Many responsibilities of the husband, many responsibilities of the wife. But I want to just touch upon one right of each of the spouses, which I think and believe are the two main rights, each of the spouses. Islam, the religion which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us and prescribed for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his sayings in the hadith, they have placed a great deal of emphasis and importance and significance and relevance on social matters, and as we've been hearing over the course of the 2 days. Islam, the teachings of Islam, the teachings of the Quran and Sunnah deal with ibadat, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They deal with social matters, business and financial issues. But when we look at the Quran, when we look at the verses of the Quran, we find that the issues dealing with ibadat, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran is very limited. In the Quran, in regards to prayer and salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just says, aqimu salah, establish prayer, wa atu zakah, give in the path of Allah, give zakah, that's it, no more. There is no mention in the Quran from beginning, from alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen to min al jinnati wal nas, nowhere in the Quran there is mentioned that there is 2 rak'at of Fajr prayer. The names of Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha have barely just been mentioned. There is no mention of even the rak'at of prayer. What invalidates the prayer? What are the conditions of prayer? And likewise, Hajj and Zakat and Umrah and Sawm and fasting. But when it comes to social matters, when it comes to family matters, and family does matter, when it comes to family matters, when it comes to the relationship of the spouses, when it comes to the husband and the wife, parents and children, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes into extreme detail. Seriously, extreme detail. Read Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Al-Nisa. Surah Al-Nisa is filled with verses in which Allah talks about the detail matters, the detailed aspects of the relationship of the husband and the wife and the spouses. Surah Al-Nisa is filled with issues dealing with the husband and the wife. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا دُخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً. O you who believe, enter into Islam completely, totally, wholeheartedly. Do not take parts of Islam and leave other parts of Islam. Today, we as Muslims, some of us restrict Islam to just the external outer appearance. For some, Islam is just to dress like a Muslim, beard, jubba, amama, thawb, that's it. For some, it's just niqab and hijab. For some, it's just makhlaq and character certain manner. Islam is a complete way of life. It's not just about ibadat and worshipping Allah. It's about social etiquette as well. It's about the relationship of the husband and the wife. Allah says, enter into Islam completely, totally, wholeheartedly. أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. Do not pick and choose from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in reality, the Qur'an, actually, when we look at Islam, the teachings of Islam, three quarters of them are other than issues dealing with the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seriously, three quarters. There's a book in the Hanafi fiqh, Al-Hidayah, which means the guidance. And one of the scholars said, مَنْ فَاتَتُ الْهِدَايَةَ فَاتَتُ الْهِدَايَةَ. The one who missed out on the book Hidayah, he missed out on guidance altogether. In this book, there are four volumes. The first volume deals with all issues relating to salah, zakat, hajj, umrah, fasting, prayer. And the other three issues deal with matters relating to family, relationships, husband, wife, inheritance, business, trade, finance, and the list goes on. Which means that if a Muslim, and I'll give you a scenario example of a human being, a Muslim, who is so punctual, a man, an individual who is punctual with his prayers. He is in the mosque, in the masjid, 15 minutes before Fajr prayer. And he is punctual with his Dhuhr and Asr and Maghrib and Isha. And he goes Hajj every year and Umrah every other year. And he gives much money in the path of Allah, donations, zakat and charity. And he's always fasting as well, siyam. And he is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the dhikr of Allah and tasbih and istighfar and everything else. But this man, this individual is neglecting his family. He is neglecting the rules of Islam relating to mu'ashara. Then this human being, this man is actually only acting upon one quarter of Islam. And he leaves three quarters of Islam. We have to be complete believers. And this is the reason why Islam goes into extreme detail about social matters. And the reason behind this is the reason is that a sound family life is the basis for a sound civilization. When we have good relationship of the spouses, then that contributes to a healthy and sound family life. It contributes to a healthy family unit. It has a healthy family unit has a positive effect on the children. And that contributes to a healthy atmosphere, healthy community, a sound community. It contributes to a sound and healthy society around us. So the relationship of the husband and wife and the family is actually contributing to the relationship of the society at large. And vice versa, if there are disputes, there are quarrels, there are problems, there is friction within the family unit, then that actually contributes in a negative way. It has a bad impact, a negative impact on the children. We complain today about our children. But the husband and wife, the father and mother are fighting with in front of the children every morning. They see their parents fighting. And what right do these parents have to complain about their children? They themselves are fighting. If the children see that the parents are quarreling, arguing, what example are these parents to the children? So it has a negative impact on the children. And then that leads to an immoral society at large. So therefore, Islam goes into great detail about talking about the rights and responsibilities. And one point before I mention these, one right of the husband and one right of the wife. There is a difference between the law and the spirit of marriage. There is a difference between the letter of marriage and the spirit of marriage. These rights, these are laws. This is the letter. This is the law. Law of marriage. The spirit of marriage is something else. We have been ordered by the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْإِحْسَانَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ فَإِذَا ذَبَحْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الذِّبْحَ وَإِذَا قَتَلْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الْقِتْلَ وَلْيُحِدَّ أَحَدُكُمْ شَفْرَتَهُ وَلْيُرِحْ ذَبِيحَتَهُ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written excellency on everything. Ihsan, our Islam is based on ihsan, being good, being excellent. It's based on excellency. Allah has written excellency on everything to the point that if you were to slaughter an animal, then slaughter an animal in an excellent way. When you kill an animal, kill it in a nice, efficient, proficient, excellent way, and you sharpen your knife and do not slaughter one animal in the presence of the other animal. Ihsan on everything. And therefore a marriage, a prosperous marriage, a marriage based on blessings, a marriage that has barakah and blessings in it, is actually the marriage that is based on ihsan. These laws, these ahkam of sharia, are not such that they are reminded to one another every day. You wake up in the morning, you know, the husband, yeah, you know what, I've got a list I read in the fiqh of marriage. Yeah, okay, you need to do this. Right number two, you need to do this. And the wife, yeah, let me see my notes. What rights do I have? These, a set of dry rules reminded to one another, that's not how marriage works. Marriage works on ihsan, on excellency. We need a balance between letter and the spirit of the marriage. Neglecting or lacking in any one of these two, it causes problems, it causes conflicts. These legal rulings, they express the minimum of a ruling. You know, when we have a right or the responsibility, it's like just the basic or the minimum of the ruling, that's it. That doesn't mean we stick at that, we just stop there. We have to go beyond that. This is the basic minimum requirement. Nikah and marriage is based on love, on mercy. Now, the two rights that I want to talk about, let's take the wife first. The rights of the wife. There are many rights of the wife. Okay, I've not started with the wife for some specific special reason, by the way. It just, you know, sometimes I start with the wife, sometimes with the husband. There are many rights of the wife, which means the responsibilities of the husband, حقوق. حقوق, the plural of حق, the right of the wife. Responsibility of the husband, there are many, but just one which I want to talk about, inshallah, in detail. And then the other one, which is the right of the husband, which is the responsibility of the wife. The basic, primary, first and foremost, and the most important, and the most significant, and the most relevant right of the wife is good treatment. Good treatment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Live with them in an amicable manner. Treat them well. Every human being deserves to be treated well. This woman, oh man, oh husband, this wife of yours that has come into your house, she is not just a human being. She is not just a Muslim. She is your wife. She is your wife. Every human being, even animals, deserve to be treated in a well and good manner. She is your wife. Treat her in an amicable way, honorably. وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ سُورَةُ النِّسَاءِ. There's a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, narrates the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, اِسْتَوْصُ بِالنِّسَاءِ خَيْرًا. I advise you to treat your women in a good way, in an amicable manner. فَإِنَّ الْمَرْأَةَ خُلِقَتْ مِنْ ضِلْعٍ. A woman is created from a rib. وَإِنَّ أَعْوَجَ مَا فِي الضِّلْعِ أَعْلَاهُ. And the part which is the most bent in a rib, and I will explain this hadith, is the upper part. فَإِذَا ذَهَبْتَ تُقِيمَهُ كَسَرْتَهُ. If you try to straighten the rib, you will break it. وَإِنْ تَرَكْتَهُ. If you leave it as it is, لَمْ يَزَلْ أَعْوَجْ. It will remain bent. In another riwayah, الْمَرْأَةُ كَالضِّلْعِ. A woman is like her rib. إِنْ أَقَمْتَهَا كَسَرْتَهَا. If you try to make it straight, you will break it. وَإِنْ إِسْتَمْتَعْتَ وَفِيهَا عِوَجٌ. Therefore, just take benefit, derive benefit from her as she is, which is being bent. Now some people, though unfortunately, who do not understand or who have not understood the hadith properly, they object. They think that the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is actually condemning or actually degrading the woman by this hadith. Without a doubt, that's not the meaning of this hadith. We have failed to understand the meaning of this hadith. And some men actually really think that as well. You know, there was a man I know, a husband, you know what he used to do? Whenever he used to get angry on his wife, he used to say, you know, oh, the one who is created with a bent rib, I'm going to straighten you. Subhanallah. This is actually a praise. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is praising women. He's praising the wife. He is trying to tell the man, the husband, that look, she is different. Being bent is not an aib. It's not a defect. It's not a defect. The beauty of the rib is that it is in it being bent. If a rib becomes straight, then that's not the beauty. from the perspective of the man, for him the rib looks bent. In other words, the woman is different from you. She is created differently from a man. The woman is created differently from a man. She is delicate. The rib is delicate. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is trying to indicate to the man that look, she is delicate. A woman is more emotional. She is fragile. She is sensitive. You need to understand that. And you know what, some of the sisters, if your husbands don't understand that, just take a sticker and put it behind your back, fragile, handle with care. Seriously, the men need to understand, women are sensitive, they are different, they're not like men. And men have a problem. Sometimes some husbands want their women to be just like them, think like them, act like them. She's a woman, you have not married a man, you've married a woman, for Allah's sake. She's different, she's sensitive, she's delicate. You have to treat her in a delicate way. She is more sensitive. You need to understand how to treat a delicate person, a sensitive person. This is what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is trying to say here. This is seriously the root of many problems in today's society. The root of many family discords and the root for many problems within the spouses is because the man wants his wife to be just like him. That will never happen. Allah has created the man and the woman separately. And the man should try to look and search for the good attributes of the woman. Every human being is created with good and bad. Every human being. لا يفرق مؤمن مؤمنة إن كره منها خلقا رضي منها آخر. A male, a husband should not dislike the wife. If you dislike some qualities, then there are many other good things to be happy about. There was one companion who came to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, my woman is like this, my wife is like this, she does that, she whinges, she does, she complains, she does this, she does that, you know, the whole list. You know what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said? He heard for a while. He's complaining about his wife. He said, طَلِّقْهَا, divorce her. The man, straight away, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, divorce her. He thought for a while, then he said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ لَا أَصْبِرُ عَنْهَا. You know what, I can't even live with her. He said, I'm sick of her even, then just keep her. Why are you complaining about her? He was indicating to the man that look, when he came with all these complaints, you know, that she's like this, she's like that, he said suddenly, divorce her. So he thought, wait a minute, divorce her. She's actually good. She does this, she does that, she does that. Trying to indicate to him that look, overlook the bad qualities and look at the good qualities. We need to do that with every human being, not just our spouses. Overlook the bad qualities and look at the good qualities. And if there are certain bad qualities which every human being has, then there are ways in Sharia prescribed by the Quran, the darajat, the level of islah, of rectification. But we need to, the husbands, the men need to think. We have the best example in Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha says, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never lifted his hands on his wife. Never, never. We have many examples of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he would enter the house, he would smile. When he left the house, he would smile. There's a hadith in Sunan Abi Dawood and elsewhere. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would enter the house, he would kiss his wife Aisha radiallahu anha. When he would leave for prayer, he would kiss. This is the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many men practice on this sunnah? You come into the house, open the door, is my food cooked? That's the first question. This is a sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Smile. Smiling in itself is a sunnah. Smiling in itself is a sunnah. Smiling with everybody. There was a sheikh in the subcontinent, when my teacher, Sheikh Mufti Taqi Uthmani, he's actually not a scholar, but he was a sheikh of Islamic spirituality, who was a doctor by profession, a GP. My sheikh relates about him that he used to say to his students that he was married for 55 years. He said, in 55 years, I have never spoken to my wife in an aggressive tone. SubhanAllah, 55 years. I've never raised my voice. Today, we know karamatul awliya, you know, the miracles of the awliya. There are many miracles. This is the greatest of miracles. 55 years in marriage, never raised his voice. Another incident regarding him, he was once invited to somebody's house for food. And when he was leaving, you know, he was one of his friends. When he was leaving, he said, Jazakallah khair, may Allah reward you for inviting me. And then he said, is your wife there, you know, in the rooms? She said, yeah. The wife was called. He said to her, Jazakallah, alhamdulillah, really enjoyed your food. MashaAllah, may Allah bless you, give you barakah. The wife started crying. So the Shaykh was astonished. Why is she crying? Did I say something? So he said, sister, is there anything wrong? After she finished crying, she said, you know what? I've been married for 40 years. Never in 40 years has my husband ever praised my food. So it is the first time somebody is actually complimented on my food. Seriously, men need to understand, compliment your women. It's difficult to cook. It's not easy. You go in the kitchen one day and try cooking. So this is something that husbands need to understand and think. That there's a hadith where the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that these women, these wives of yours, they have restricted themselves to you. They've left their fathers, they've left their mothers, their brothers, their sisters. فَإِنَّمَا هُنَّ عَوَانٌ عِنْدَكُمْ. They have restricted themselves to you. لَيْسَ تَمْلِكُونَ مِنْهُنَّ شَيْئًا غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ. You don't owe any right above the fact that they have restricted themselves to you. The only right you have over them is that she lives in your home. And that's why women, seriously, in Islam and fiqh, if you look at the books, pick up books in Hanafi, Shafi'i, Maliki, Hanbali, fiqh, they actually discuss whether it's a responsibility of the wife to cook or not. And in the Hanafi fiqh, the ulama go into detail saying that, you know what, it's not the responsibility of the wife to even cook for her husband, let alone her mother-in-law and father-in-law. This is the ruling of Sharia. This is not modern Islam. This is the ruling of Sharia many, many years ago. But remember, the spirit is, yes, you cook, you'll be rewarded, greatly rewarded. And you know what the wisdom behind this? I thought about this. You know what the wisdom behind this is? Seriously, think about this. You know what the wisdom is? That look, if the husband or the mother-in-law or the father-in-law thinks that it's their God-given right that the daughter-in-law and the son-in-law or the wife cooks for them, they demand it, they expect it, then one day she is lax, one day she does not cook, one day the salt is less or more, they become frustrated, they become angry. But if they know, they realize, they understand, they learn, they reflect, they understand that, you know what, it's not her right to cook. If she's cooking, she's doing a favor. They will never, if the salt is more one day, they'll never feel frustrated or angry about it. They will actually compliment. They will actually appreciate it, you know, because you think, you know, when the daughter-in-law cooks for the mother-in-law, it's a big problem of the world, you know, mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, subhanAllah, probably the oldest problem in the world. But when the mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, when the mother-in-law understands that, look, she does not have to cook. What she is doing, it's a favor on me. What will she do? She will appreciate it. She will thank her. She will say, Jazakillahu khair. Barakillahu feek. May Allah reward you. And you know what, with women, we know the nature of women. The more you appreciate what they do, the more they do it. So in reality, she will be doing more. In the first case scenario, when we say it's her right, she has to do it. She will do it out of a burden. She will do it out of a duty, a responsibility. Her heart's not in it. In the second situation, she's doing with love. She's doing it with, she wants to cook for the husband. She wants to cook for the father-in-law and mother-in-law. We need to learn about these rules of Sharia. So this is what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, that there's no right of, and the fuqaha jurists, you know what they say? They say that the man cannot demand for his wife to cook. Rather, if the wife demands that, you know what, you get me food, the man has to actually cook himself or go to the restaurant and bring food and give it to her in her lap. This is not modern Islam. This is fiqh. This is fiqh taken from the Quran and Sunnah. She's the queen of the house. And there are many, many rights. And the husband should actually also try to help. There's a companion, Aswad bin Yazid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sahih al-Bukhari. He asked Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, مَا كَانَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَصْنَعُ فِي الْبَيْتِ. What would the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam do in the midst of his house? We would think, this man, the Amirul Muslimin, Mu'mineen, the head of the Imamul Anbiya, the Sayyidul Mursaleen, you know, the leader of the community, he has so many responsibilities, what would he do? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aisha radiallahu anha, listen to the reply, she said, كَانَ فِي مِهْنَةِ أَهْلِهِ. He was in the service of his family. He was in the service. Men should sometimes, you know, try and help in the household chores, which is the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, كان في مهنة أهله فإذا سمع الأذان خرج إلى الصلاة. But yes, when he heard the adhan, then he would leave and go for prayer. There's a hadith in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, أكمل المؤمنين إيمانا أحسنهم خلقا وخياركم خياركم لنسائهم. The best, or the most complete of believers is the one who has the best of manners, and the best amongst you is the one who is the best to his family, to his wives. And this is the reason why it takes us back to taqwa. This is the reason why the verse of taqwa, the verses of fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are recited at the time of marriage. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih. Ya ayyuhal nasu taqu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum min nafsi wahida. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. These verses, because only if a man has taqwa, the fear of Allah, the notion in mind that everything he does, he will be accountable for it in the Akhirah, on the Day of Judgment, only then this man will be able to treat his wife and his family in an amicable manner. This fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greatly required. We need to understand and reflect. This life is very short. It's very brief. It's just like it's very, very short. You're young, you become middle-aged, you become old, and we leave this world. It's so short. And there's eternal life in the hereafter. Whatever we do, we will be answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our actions. So this is the main right, treating the wife in an amicable way, treating the spouse in an honorable manner, with excellency, with ihsan. And then there are many other rights of the wife as well, like for example, nafaqah, financial support, and through halal income, and shelter, and the marital relations, and dowry. And also one important right of the wife, teaching her her religion. Ta'aleem wa ta'deeb is the responsibility of the husband, whether he does it himself or he allows her to go and learn Islamic knowledge. But these are many other rights, and I don't want to go into the details as I mentioned, that I'll only talk about one right. And I move on to the right, the main right of the husband, and I have about 10 minutes left, inshallah. The right of the husband. There are many rights of the husbands, the responsibility of the wife. The most important in terms of the right of the husband, this is actually very important. There are two, they're both related to one another. The wife needs to think and reflect and ponder over this fact seriously. She must realize that she has to have the utmost respect for her husband. A husband for the wife is her world. Respect is an absolute right of the husband. She must think the world of him. Nobody in the world is more important and significant and relevant to her than her husband. This man is the most important thing or being in her life. Respect, izzah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the man the amir, the head of the family. Allah has made, even in a small journey, we need to have an Amir. The sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is when you go on a short journey, appoint an Amir. All of you, you've come from, I don't know where, Ontario and Montreal and wherever you've come from, and the US and many other places. When you travel, appoint an Amir. When there's two of you, three of you, appoint an Amir. This is the short life, journey. Coming to Toronto, we need to appoint an Amir. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that this is the journey of lifetime. Until death do us apart. This is the journey of the lifetime. You must have an Amir. Now who should be the Amir? The woman or the man? The husband or the wife? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His infinite wisdom, He's told us Himself. He's prescribed for us that the man, because of wisdom He knows best, that the man is the Amir of the household. He's the leader, the Amir. But the Amir, the concept of Amir is Sayyidul Qawmi Khadimuhum. He's not somebody who's like a ruler, tyrant, zalim, oppressor. That's not the meaning of Amir here. الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض وبما أنفقوا من أموالهم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قوامون, the plural of قوام, which means caretaker. He looks after his family. He's the head of the household. رعب and awe is something that's not required in a relationship. You should have a relationship of friendship. relationship of friendship, not a relationship where the man is like a, you know, some kind of tyrant ruler. Like one husband was saying to one man, he once came to me and said, you know what, I have so much awe on my family. He said, when I go into the house, my children can't even come to me, and you know, my wife as well, everybody, you know, there's so much respect. I said, why do you become a lion when you go in your house or something? Do some whiskers grow on you? Seriously. This is not what's meant with respect and being an amir of the family. You do mashwara, discussion, mutual mashwara. But the final decision according to Islam is the husband's decision. And also, husbands need to realize the fact that they should act in such a state, they should act in such a way that the wife begins to respect them, and they should earn the respect of their wife. Because sometimes we always want respect. I am the amir of the family. I am the amir. I am the head of the household. But what have you done to earn this respect and be the amir of the family? They need to understand that. And by extension, when the wife has this respect for the husband, when the wife has this great respect in her heart, love for the husband, then Islam prescribes a very important ruling for her, which is ita'ah, which is she must obey the husband. She ita'atul walidain. We have the obedience to the parents, and we have obedience to the husband. Obedience in everything related to their marriage. And as long as it's not violating the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the hadith says, لَا طَاعَةَ لِمَخْلُوقٍ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ الْخَالِقِ. When there is obedience to the creation of Allah, it must not entail the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's also with the condition, as long as there is no harm on the wife herself, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. Allah does not hold one accountable for something that which is beyond one's capability. So as long as her own rights are not violated, because إِنَّ لِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقٍ. Example for that, you know, if the husband says to the wife, you know what, stand on one foot all night long with a glass of water until morning, does she have to do that? Or jump into the fire, does she have to do that? Or, you know what, dispose of your wealth, throw all your wealth away, or give me all your money which you brought. Does she have to do that? She doesn't have to. Obedience does not mean that she must listen to every single thing, as long as it does not violate her own right. And if you're in doubt whether it's violating your right or not, then ask a scholar, God-fearing scholar, and seek consultation from them. A woman must respect the husband, must have ita'ah, must obey the husband. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لو كنت آمرا أحدا أن يسجد لأحد لأمرت المرأة أن تسجد لزوجها. Subhanallah. Such an amazing hadith. If I was to command anyone to prostrate and make sujood in front of anyone in this world, then I would have ordered and commanded the wife to make sujood and prostrate in front of her husband. This is the hadith of Sunan al-Tirmidhi. أَيُّمَا إِمْرَأَةٍ مَاتَتْ وَزَوْجُهَا عَنْهَا رَاضٍ دَخَلَتِ الْجَنَّةِ. Any woman, it's so easy, sisters, seriously, it's so easy for you to enter Jannah. It's difficult for men. You know, I envy women. It's so easy for you to enter Jannah. Any woman who passes away, leaves this world in a state that her husband is happy with her, دخلت الجنة, she will enter Jannah and paradise. المرأة إذا صلت خمسها, a woman who performs 5-time prayers, وصامت شهرها, observes the fast of Ramadan, وحفظت فرجها, she observes her chastity, وأطاعت زوجها, and she obeys her husband. قيل لها, it will be said to her on the day of Jannah, on the day of judgment, أدخل الجنة من أي الأبواب شاءت. Enter paradise and Jannah from any door you want to enter from. This is the hadith of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And finally, marriage needs to be lived with ihsan, as I mentioned. But brothers and sisters, and I don't know, probably this might be covered, and just 2-3 minutes on this. Just as marriage and everything in this world should be lived with ihsan, with excellency, likewise Islam commands us that even divorce should be done in an excellent way and with ihsan. Today, our society, we have problems. The reason for this great problem is, you know what? We think divorce is evil. Muslims have considered divorce to be something evil or haram or unlawful. It's not like that. Hadith says, أَبْغَضُ الْحَلَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ الطَّلَاقِ. Divorce is the worst or the most disliked things, but from the halal things. It's something that sometimes you have to resort to. It's not evil. It's not unlawful. And when we understand that it's not unlawful, now we think, you know, many Muslim societies think divorce is something that's unlawful, haram, it's evil. Now when you think it's evil, then what happens when divorce takes place? Then somebody has to be blamed because it's evil. The man says it was a wife's fault. And the wife says, points fingers at the husband. The husband says, you know what, yeah, it wasn't my wife. She was alright, but it was like her mother. She spoiled everything. And the wife says, yeah, my husband's okay, but you know what, his mother used to, you know, put her nose in all our affairs. People are pointing fingers. The husband's family points fingers at the wife's family. The wife's family points fingers at the husband's family. What happens? They become lifelong enemies. Lifelong enemies. And they don't want to see each other's faces. And then the mother uses her children. Uses the children. And does not let her children see their own father. What great zulm and oppression can you get on the face of the earth in that? In England we have this group called Father's Justice or something, you might have heard of them. But seriously, it's totally haram. There are practicing Muslim families where the wife's family uses children to get their own back. What wrong have the children done? They deserve to have a father and a mother, both. They deserve to have a father and a mother. This is oppression, zulm, which can never be justified in Islam or any other religion or in any other community. So, divorce is not evil. It's something that maybe you have to resort to. According to Islam, you can have the best two people in the world. You can have the Imam al-Junaid of the time and Rabi'a al-Basriya of the time. And they can also have divorce. Prophets divorce their wives. Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah says in the Quran, تعالى أمتعكن وأسرحكن صراحا جميلا. He once intended to divorce all his wives. سيدنا إبراهيم عليه الصلاة والسلام, peace be upon him, he actually ordered his son Ismail عليه الصلاة والسلام to divorce the wife. Sometimes divorce is the only solution. So we should, even if Muslims go through divorce, divorce with ihsan, divorce with excellency, we should learn from some of our non-Muslims. Look at the way they do divorce, in an amicable way. No hard feelings. In Islam, Allah prescribes that at the time of divorce, you know, there's something called muta'a. We've heard of one muta'a. Everybody knows about one muta'a. This is another muta'a. Muta'a وَمَتِّعُوهُنَّ or حَقًّا عَلَى الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Muta'a means to give a small gift. It is actually mustahab, recommended, and in some cases is actually wajib and necessary for the man to give this small gift at the time of divorce. Which means what? It means that, you know what? We tried our best. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not want us to live together. We tried our best. You were a beautiful wife, excellent wife. You had your deficiencies. I had my deficiencies. We couldn't click. There was no chemistry between us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, give you and bless you with a better husband. The wife says to the husband, you know what, I wasn't good enough for you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you a better woman than me. And depart as human beings in an amicable way. And the husband should give a small gift and that's it, inshallah. This is the way Islam wants divorce to be. Not the way how some of our communities go in divorce. So inshallah, I'm going to end with the whole summary of this is that we need to act upon the Quranic verse. وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَحْرُوفِ and the hadith of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْإِحْسَانَ عَلَى كُلِ شَيْءٍ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written ihsan and excellency on everything. We need to be muhsin. بَلَى مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجْهَهُ لِلَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِن. The Jews and the Christians, Allah relates about them that they used to say, we will enter paradise. Allah said, it's not about being a Jew or a Christian. Who will enter paradise? بَلَى. Indeed, man aslama wajhahu lillah, the one who submits himself totally to the command of Allah, wahuwa muhsinun, and he is excellent. He lives a life of excellency. He is a muhsin. Then this person will enter Jannah and Paradise, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all muhsin and muhsinat. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah wa sallallahu wa sallam ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi.